Please be seated. I mentioned that the Jesse tree made for a beautiful decoration on Christmas Eve, having those candles lit. You can see that it does give off a great deal of light, but it is, of course, more than just a beautiful decoration. As I said at the beginning of our service, it started as a way to trace the lineage of Christ in art. In Jewish tradition and in the New Testament as well, lineage was very important. The most famously boring books of the Old Testament are Leviticus and Numbers, in large part because they contain long genealogies of God's people. In Leviticus, it's lists of those who are members of the family of Levi, the priestly tribe. And Numbers has censuses of the people who entered the Promised Land and all kinds of things that we, frankly, don't care much about. But for the Jewish people, for the Israelites, these lineages, these genealogies were incredibly important. For them, it was about remaining connected to their past. It was about remembering who they were and how they came to be where they are, which is why some of that carries over into the New Testament. In Matthew and Luke, the two gospel writers who tell us stories of the birth of Jesus also give us genealogies. We don't read those either because they're just as boring as the genealogies in the Old Testament, but they are significant. For Matthew and for Luke, they connect Jesus either back to David in Matthew's case or in Luke's case all the way back to Adam and to God. For the Jews, a lineage, a genealogy was an important way of remaining rooted in one's story, rooted in one's own history, connected to the past. Now, for us, those genealogies are long lost in a sense. We don't keep track of the birth anymore and who begat so-and-so, and all of this is just not very interesting to us. But in terms of lineage, what does matter to us and what should still be important to us is the theological lineage of Jesus, the biblical lineage of Jesus, not so much who his father was and who his father's father and all of this stuff, but how Jesus came to be, where he was, when he was, why his life and his story are of significance to us. Matthew and Luke help to point us in this direction, connecting him to David, to the shoot that will come up out of the stump of Jesse, and in Luke's case, connecting him to Adam and to God, the Son of God. Many of you, I'm sure all of you, have heard of U.C. Björling, a famous tenor from Sweden, right? You've all heard of U.C. Björling. He was born in 1911 and was, I'm surprised you don't know this, one of the leading operatic singers of the 20th century. He's a relative of mine, as it turns out. I don't know much about him except from what I was able to glean from his Wikipedia page, but I was told that he is one of the more well-known members of my family tree on my grandfather's side. My grandfather's parents emigrated from Sweden, and I think that the vocal talent diverged before Björling was connected to my portion of the family tree. Origins are important for us. Origins, in particular nowadays with the tools that are available to us, most families have at least one person who really devotes themselves to researching the family tree, going on to these websites that can look at public records and really amazing stuff that can be found fairly easily. And there's a certain excitement about the discoveries that happen in that process. When you discover, interesting connections, like if you're connected to a famous opera singer, and I'm sure you're all jealous of that connection that I have in my family. But the discoveries that happen as a part of that process, they can be exhilarating. And also when you begin to realize how far back you are connected, it's a good reminder for us that we don't just exist out of nowhere, out of nothing, but we come as a result of a long history of people who lived and loved and lost and suffered and experienced joy and all of the full experience of human life. It all has come before us. Our origins are important. And for us who are followers of Christ, Jesus' origins are important. Now, I'm not so interested in the genealogies There's a great debate about what exactly the gospel writers mean, because Matthew traces Jesus' lineage through Mary, but Luke traces it through Joseph. And so we can argue about the theological significance of those questions, but the point for us is that Jesus, like us, did not just drop out of the sky. Jesus did not just appear out of nowhere, this magical God-man who came to tell us about who God is and to save us from our sins. Jesus did not appear out of nowhere. He came in the midst of a great deal of anticipation. We talked a lot about this during the weeks of Advent. In Luke chapter 2, after the story of Christmas, after the visit from the shepherds, Mary and Joseph do what is customary, and they take Jesus to be circumcised. And when they do, there's a man there named Simeon. I want to read you just a brief bit of what Luke says. Luke writes, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child, Jesus, in, 8 days old, they brought the child in to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel.'" Jesus came in the midst of great expectation, and Simeon, this man in the temple who had been told he would live to see God's salvation, God's anointed, Simeon stands in the place symbolically for all of Israel who had been waiting to see God's salvation. Simeon stands in our place symbolically as we all wait to see God's salvation, the completion of God's work. But Jesus didn't just come into the midst of this great expectation. Jesus also entered into a history, a story, a shared story of which he was a part. And that is the story of Scripture, the story that begins in Genesis, the story of Abraham being called to leave his homeland and to go and to live as a nomad, the story of Israel being enslaved in Egypt and then being set free by God's power, sent to wander in the wilderness, then finally given to take the land of promise. And then the anointing of a king and the promise that God's king would sit on Jerusalem's throne forever. And then the promise that an anointed would come. All of this is the story that constitutes the people of Israel. And Jesus came and entered into that story. These were the stories that his parents told him as he was a child, as he was growing up. These were the stories that taught him who God is, how God loves, how God interacts with God's people. This is the story of which Jesus was a part. He didn't just drop out of the sky. He came as a part of a long history, a history that we see lighting up this tree over here, a reminder that Jesus is a part of a long and rich and important story. This is why as Christians we don't just throw out the Old Testament. If Jesus isn't in it, we don't need it. That's not our attitude about Scripture, because the Bible is God's story, a story that comes before Jesus and a story that continues after Jesus. It's a story that we are all a part of. Now, the reason I'm titling this little message "The Miracle of the Morning" is because the excitement of Christmas all came to an end. The shepherds visited and the beautiful star lit up the sky, but then there was a morning, and then Jesus was fussing and he was hungry, and Mary and Joseph were exhausted, and they had to get their stuff together so they could get to the temple to do what was customary and have him circumcised and give him the name that the angel told them to give him, and all of this, and finally pack their things and go home. There was a morning after all of the excitement of Christmas. Mary and Joseph had to do what was customary. Mary and Joseph had to return to life as normal, because time did not stand still when God finally sent Jesus to be among us. Jesus came and joined this story, and the story continued after him. Of course, it continues a few decades later into Jesus' own ministry, but that story continues even now. The story of Christmas, the story of God with us, God present among us continues even now, even though Jesus has ascended to heaven, because the story that was Jesus's is also our story. The beauty of this tree might lead us to the false impression that history has reached its pinnacle in Christ, that history has reached its end, its climax, and the rest is just the resolution. The rest is just the denouement, the winding down of all that God intended. I like to picture in the Jesse tree, I'd like to picture, and Harold, this would be a good engineering feat for you. Harold built this for us a while ago, by the way. I'd like to picture an inverted Jesse tree sitting on top of this Jesse tree, shaped like an hourglass to remind us that, yes, history found a climax in Christ, but the story goes on. The light of Christ continues to spread up and out into the story of God at work in our lives and in our world. Our origins matter. The story of who Jesus is, where Jesus came from, what Jesus embraced as his own story, as his own symbolic world, the same story that we embrace as our own. Our origins matter. And so we carry this light forward, the light of this tree, the light of this candle, the light of Christ that we celebrate at Christmas. We carry this light forward as we continue the story of God in God's world among God's people. Let us pray. God, we confess you've chosen a strange means to carry your light into the world. Your people whose hearts are a mixture of light and darkness. So we ask for the courage to follow. We ask for the strength, for the tools, for the gifts to carry your light into the world. And we pray it in the name of the one who is the light of the world, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.